God, that's right. Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, good to have Brother Joel Gray, pastor of Vision Baptist Church, and he's going to come preach the charge of the church tonight, and he'll be come preach at this time. Amen. You pray God help him.
Amen. Be finding your places in the book of Exodus, chapter number 17 tonight. Exodus chapter number 17. Let me say, it is always a privilege to be back at Westside. Amen. To be able to preach the Word of God, not just preach, but to come back and see and shake hands and hug necks. Amen. Amen. Those I know and come to be a friend with. Amen. And a part of. I'm thankful for that. Amen. And I know tonight is specifically to, as far as my part of the service, is specifically to Gospel Baptist Church. And I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to take part in this ordination service and to help preach the charge to the church. I know Brother Hyde will be preaching to Brother Chris later, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. It is a privilege and an honor that they would even consider me to be able to come and be a part of this, and I am so grateful to be here. But if you found your places in Exodus chapter number 17, I'm not going to preach the whole message that I preached this morning, so y'all can rest a little bit. Amen. But I'm going to try to bring a portion of it tonight that I believe will deal with the thoughts that we need to hear tonight. Now, tonight's message is primarily for Gospel Baptist Church because that's why we're here. But it also goes to Westside Baptist Church. Amen. Just like this morning, it went to Vision Baptist Church. And like anywhere else it's preached and heard, it'll go to that church. Amen. Because it is needed in every church house. Amen. That wants to honor the Lord. So Exodus chapter number 17, and this is a short chapter, so I'm going to read the chapter and bring you the thoughts, I believe, for the heart, the man of God tonight that the Lord has laid upon us. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. That's the first place you need to journey from. Amen. And after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? I said this morning. I want to say it here tonight. I believe in scripture interpretation and definition. And when he said that when you chide against me, you're tempting the Lord. Amen. So for both churches represented here tonight, when you chide against the man of God, remember you are tempting the Lord to do something to you. Right. Amen. Verse number 3. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And I know I'm not preaching the charge to Brother Chris, but as I said this morning, preacher, there's going to be times you're going to think they're going to want to stone you. And there might be times that they do want to stone you. Amen. But you're going to have to stay with God. Amen. But the Bible said in verse number 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek, and that means dweller in the valley, and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. And again, I'm not going to deal with everything I dealt with this morning. I looked at the weakness of the flesh in the first few verses. I looked at the wonders of the Lord in the next few verses. But tonight, I want to deal with the charge to the church on the way of victory. Everybody wants to have victory in their life. Everybody wants to have, as a pastor and as a church as a whole, wants to have a successful ministry. And when I say successful, that doesn't come with numbers, whether it be people numbers or whether it be money numbers. That's not what it's about. Amen. But having a ministry that is wholehearted going for the Lord. Amen. That's what a successful ministry is. And I want to deal with this tonight on the way of victory tonight. The way of victory. If Gospel Baptist Church and Brother Christopher Messick as pastor now wants to have a successful ministry and wants to have the way of victory in their life, there's some things that's going to have to take place. Amen. And it sounds like from the testimony that I heard tonight, it sounds like a lot of that is already going on in these months that he's been there preaching. But I want to say, the honeymoon ain't over yet. Amen. First year or two, and maybe a little longer for some. Amen. Everything goes real good, and then problems start happening. Amen. And I want to say, in our journeys of the Lord, without going back and rehearsing all the first part of this chapter, our journeys from the Lord, following in the will of God, sometimes we get the mentality that means everything's going to go smooth. And that's not so. As we've seen in the first part of this chapter, problems began to come, and they were journeying in the commandment of the Lord. They were walking exactly where God wanted them to walk. They were heading in the direction that God wanted them to head. Amen. Following Moses, the man of God, the leader that God sent to bring them out of Egypt. And everything was going good until there came a time that they got thirsty. And they didn't have any water to drink. And they began to blame it on the man of God. They began to say, would to God we were still back in Egypt. Why did you bring us out in this wilderness to die? Amen, church, let me tell you something now. I've been down this road just a little bit. Don't claim to be real smart, but I have learned a few things by experience on the way. Amen. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be some leadership and some paths, some courses in your life that the man of God is going to try to walk you down. And there's going to be some troubles that's going to come, even though it's in the will of God. And you've got to learn how to handle that. You've got to learn what your role is in a successful ministry. You have to learn what it's going to take for you at Gospel Baptist Church to have the victory. Amen. I want to give you four quick things and I'm going to be done, all right? But I want to say this battle does appear to come because of the complaining. When this battle with Amalek comes, it appears that God allowed this battle to come, this warfare to start, because of their complaint against Moses and against the Lord. I want to tell you something. It's bad enough to face the battles that the Satan and the world and your flesh puts before you without having God fighting against you. Amen. So it's best to stay with the man of God. Amen. Stay in the Word of God. Follow his faith as he follows God. Amen. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I've got to see how it's going to work out. I got to see if he's going to be able to do what he said he's going to do. If he's got a word from the Lord, you're putting your confidence in him tonight to call him to be your pastor. And if he's got a word from the Lord, then you get behind him. Amen. Amen. Don't let him think, because there's going to come a time that he will think, Lord, did I miss it? Lord, these people want to kill me. Do they want to get rid of me? What am I going to do now? That time will come. It don't matter. It will come. Amen. I've been at this thing now, been preaching the gospel since I was 16 years of age. That's 34 years ago this November. Amen. And I've been pastoring now a little bit, amen, in two different places, counting the one I'm at now. But I'm telling you right now, I've sat under some good men of God, and I saw how things went in their ministry as well. And I'm telling you, troubles are going to come. Battles will be faced. But if you want the victory, I'm going to give you four reasons or four things you can do to make sure you come out the victor. All right? Number one, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. I'm not talking about doubling up your fist. I'm not talking about pulling out a gun. I'm not talking about getting a baseball bat. I'm not talking about doing a physical fight. I'm talking about a warfare, amen, that is not carnal. I'm talking about a warfare that is spiritual, and you're going to have to be willing to fight that battle. Now, I want to say, according to the carnality, if you please, or the worldly warfare that is going on here, the Bible says in verse number 8, then came Amalek. When did that happen? It's after God had told Moses to go up, smite the rock, and he give them water from the rock, and he called that place Massah, which means to provoke the Lord, and Meribah, which means that they were striving with the man of God. Amen. And he said that then came Amalek. The battle's going to come when somebody ain't in unity with the man of God. Amen. The battle's going to come when there's something wrong between the pastor and the people. That's when the battle's going to come. There's going to be battles all around. But I'm talking about the ones that you can't hardly fight. I'm talking about the ones that you can't hardly win. You know, David said, if it had been an enemy, I'd have took it. If it had been this, I'd have took it. But it was mine own familiar friend. Amen. I'm telling you, when it's somebody close to you that hurts your heart, buddy, it's hard to recover from. So Gospel Baptist Church tonight, I'm telling you, if you're going to win the victory and you want to stay on the road to victory, amen, get behind your man of God and fight. Amen. Moses told Joshua, he said, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. When the man of God says it's time, church, for us to raise up and fight against the sins of this world, it's time for us to stand for the Lord. It's time for us to take our stance and do everything we can to stand. And after doing everything we can to stand, stand therefore. Amen. Compromise will want to come in. They'll want you to change the version of the Bible that you're using. They'll want you to change to contemporary music. They'll want you to allow dress standards to change. They'll want you to allow, amen, the length of your message to change. But I'm telling you right now, you better stand and you better fight. Amen. Stay for what's true. Joshua and Moses and the children of Israel would have never won this battle had they not fought. Amen. I want to say this. Somebody likes to have the idea, and I don't know why, and I don't know where it came from, but somebody got the idea many years ago, probably before my time, that it's the preacher's responsibility to do everything. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't the preacher's responsibility to go out and fight the battle. as Joshua was fighting the war physically, Moses was up on the hillside fighting the war spiritually. Amen. When it talks about him having that rod, it's talking about the presence and power of God. When it talks about him raising those hands, the Bible said, wherefore lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting in prayer. Amen. I believe Moses up there praying, and they lifted those hands up, and we'll get to that more in a minute. But you're not going to have victory until you're willing to fight. That means sometimes, church, you might have to take a stand against your friend in the church that don't like it anymore. Sometimes you might have to take a stand against a family member that don't like it anymore. Amen. Sometimes you might just have to take a stand against some of the pillars. Amen. In the church that's been there since it started because they don't want to go the old-fashioned way anymore. You're going to have to take a stand and fight. Amen. I want to say secondly, the way to victory is faith, through faith. You're not going to have any victory without faith. Let me just hit these points, and I won't deal with them in a lot of detail, but let me just hit these points. You're going to have some faith that what God did before, he can do it some more. You're going to have faith. I want you to notice the Bible says that when Moses, he told Moses, Moses said he was going to go up on the hillside. Nowhere in this Bible do you find where Moses asked for anybody to go with him. But what Moses did do was take that rod of God in his hand, buddy. You want me to tell you why? And I don't have time to go back and preach all the introduction that I did this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. Moses took that rod of God because it helped down there in Egypt in the deliverance of those plagues. Amen. It helped when the manna came. It helped when the parting of the Red Sea. It helped in the leadership, amen, that he had for the things of God. That rod of God. And he said to Joshua, he said, you go fight with Amalek. I'm going up here on the hillside. And he took the rod of God. Let me tell you something. I know, Brother Chris, I don't want to step on what Brother High is going to say, but don't leave the rod of God, man. Church, don't leave the rod of God. If he decides to leave the rod of God, you stay with it. Amen. Stay with that King James Bible, the only pure, unadulterated, infallible, inerrant, and inspired Word of God. Amen. It's the only one. All that other stuff, you say, well, it's mostly right. Well, if it's mostly right, then it's still wrong. It's got to be all right. Amen. But faith, he said, the rod of God's done it before. I believe it can do it some more. I believe I'll just go up here and I'll hold the rod of God. Amen, and God will help us to prevail. I want to say you got to keep the faith. The same God that did all this for Moses and Joshua and many others throughout the Word of God and you in your life, I guarantee you if you'll take time and just think a little bit about your past from the day you got saved to the present time, you can think of some mighty works that God's done in your life to deliver you and give you great victories. If you'll just think a little bit, and if he done it before, he can do it again. He can do it again. Keep the faith. You want to have victory? Gospel Baptist Church? Then do it through faith. Thirdly, you're going to do it through following. It's the only way you're going to have victory. See, a lot of people have the mentality, well, I'm just as smart as the preacher is. You might be smarter than the preacher is. But the problem is God didn't call you to lead that flock. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I understand that. And there's nothing wrong with seeking some wise counsel. But when God gives you a foundation, as I said in the meeting tonight, from the Word of God, then you better stand right here. Amen. You might not have nothing else to stand on, and you might end up standing there alone. But if you've got God on your side, you're on the winning side. Amen. The way to victory, church, is through following. I want you to notice what happened here. I've already kind of alluded to it. The Bible says, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. There's the first following. What the man of God tells you to do, do it. Amen. I'm talking about scripturally now. What he tells you to do, do it. Now notice here what else happened. And Moses, Aaron, and her went up to the top of the hill. Church, I don't know how many of you is here tonight. Don't know who you are except Brother Tim, because I met him back there. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not limiting it to two. But he needs some men that's willing to stand with him. I don't care how strong he may be. I want you to get a hold of this. I didn't even mention this morning. I thought of it through the week as God was preparing my heart for the message. But Moses died at the age of 120 years of age. And the Bible said that his strength was not abated. He was still just as strong, neither his eyes dim and all that, but he was still just as strong at 120 when he died as he was when he was a young man. This man walks up on the side of that hill and he's holding that rod in his hand and he lifts that rod in his hand in the air. Amen. And the children of Israel begin to prevail. Amen. When he gets tired and weak and that hand begins to set down. Amen. The Amalekites begin to prevail. Amen. Maybe he throws his other hand up in the air and Israel begins to prevail again. And then he gets weak there. And before you know it, it drops back down. And the Amalekites began to prevail again. But I want to tell you what happened. Praise God. Because some men went and followed the man of God like they should have been following the man of God. They were there with him and they set him on a rock, which I believe is a picture of Christ. Amen. Resting in and on Christ. Amen. Not just in Christ, but on Christ. He is our foundation. And they lifted his hands and the Israelites prevailed. Amen. They won the battle. Held those hands up till the going down of the sun. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Never saw this before till this morning. I want you to get a hold of this. Isn't it funny? Are you listening? Isn't it funny, seem coincidental, that the man of God gets weary and his hands begin to fall, that the enemy begins to prevail, but two other men, one on each side, is holding that man of God's hands up, but they seemingly never get tired. I'm going to tell you something. As long as you're for the man of God, as long as you're helping the man of God, God will give you strength beyond measure. Amen. The man of God, you mark this down now. We're not superheroes. We're not perfect. We're not able to endure more than anybody else. But I want to tell you something. We're going to get weak just like anybody else will. And it don't matter how good things seem to be going. The battles are still raging. Problems are still there. Concerns are still on our heart. Burdens for sinners, burdens for loved ones that need help, maybe sick, maybe at the point of death. The church people, amen, it's not no longer, that's what I tried to say in there a little bit. Hey, it's no longer Brother Chris and his wife and his children now. Amen, it's however many, what'd you say, 30 to 40 people y'all got down there? Now it's 30 to 40 people besides his wife and his children that he's got to pray for. Now it's 30 to 40 people, amen, that's going to come and ask for counsel. Now it's 30 to 40 people he's got to carry a burden. Now it's 30 to 40 people he's got to pray and find the mind of God. It's no longer just telling your wife what you know she needs, what your children, what you know they need. Amen, it's finding God's will so that God can tell all those people what they need. Most people don't understand the heart and the heaviness of the pastor. They can't. I'll give you this as a benefit of a doubt. I don't believe you can understand it because God didn't call you. But if you can ever get a hold of some of it, it'll help you to learn how to follow the man of God and hold him up and lift him up. I'm not talking about in arrogancy and pride to give him a big head to cause him to think that he's better than anybody else. But he better know you're with him. You know, it's easy to fight a battle if you think you're big and strong. It's easy to fight somebody. Maybe one-on-one. It might even be easy for you. You might have enough courage to fight a couple of people at one time. Physically, now I'm talking. But you know what? If you got a good, strong buddy with you, that you know he's able of doing some things, that you're going to be willing to fight whoever and whenever. Can I say something to you tonight, Gospel Baptist Church? If you get behind this man of God like you ought to, he'll be willing and able to fight any battle that comes that way. Amen. If he knows you're with him, he knows you're for him, and he knows you're going to stay with the book, amen, there'll be no battle too strong that the Lord can't help y'all to win. Amen. Then lastly tonight, I want to say the way of victory is not only through fighting, not only through faith, not only through following, but it's through the facts. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write, for this is, or excuse me, write this for a memorial in a book. You know where the book is, don't you? Write this for a memorial in a book. As far as we know, this is the first time anybody's been told to write something down. As far as we know. And God told Moses, he said, you write this in a book for a memorial. Now, get a hold of this. For a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Why? Why, preacher, do you need to rehearse it in the ears of the young man? Because the young man's soon going to be taken over. You need to write it for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. The Lord said, I'm talking about the facts now, I'm talking about the Word of God. The Lord said, write this down. Let it be a memorial, a pillar, a time of remembrance, and rehearse it in Joshua's ears, that he might remember what took place here in this valley when he fought against Amalek and you stood on this mountain. Amen. And I give you the victory. He said, you write it down. There's not a victory you can't have tonight, Gospel Baptist Church or Westside Baptist Church, if you'll stay with the facts. The same God that promised Moses and Joshua, the same God that delivered them, the same God that delivered many all down through the Word of God, is the same God that we say saved us, called us, and that we're living for today. Let me say this and I'm done. I was preaching through Daniel and got into chapter number 6 this past Tuesday night. And I preached this just along this line. I mentioned this. I said, you know, everybody wants an experience like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being cast into a burning fiery furnace and not being burnt, not even having the smell of fire on their bodies and nothing charred from the fire and not even having that smell of the smoke. A lot of people want to have that Daniel in the lion's den experience. And say, boy, I'd like to be able to be thrown into a den of lions and them not be able to harm me. But here's the key to all that. You know what I said? I said, most people ain't willing to suffer the persecution to get to that place. The reason why those men went through that kind of trial in their life was because of what they had to suffer and endure and stand for. That's the reason why God delivered them from that. But the same God that delivered them, the same God that delivered Moses, the same God that delivered Joshua and the children of Israel, is the same God that can deliver you and give you the victory if you stay with the facts. Stay with the facts, church. Father, thank you for your help. Pray that you'd help the churches meet the needs that's needed in their heart. Bless the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Thank God for it. Amen. The victory's won on the hill. Amen. That's right. The battle's in the valley. The victory's on the hill. Thank God the victory we have is on Calvary's hill. Amen. Jesus, he stretched his arms out on Calvary's cross willingly to die for sin. Amen. Thank God for the good preaching. Amen. I asked Brother Shank to say a little something tonight. He's a pastor and an ordained preacher, and I appreciate him coming tonight. Just come on, brother, and say something that's on your heart there. And amen. Whatever God's got you on your mind, you just go ahead and follow the Lord.
Amen. It's good to be here. Be honored. I'm honored to be able to come up here and be in this ordination service for Brother Chris. I've been coming out here for 8 years or so, nine. And God put me in a church down in Waxhaw. And I've watched Chris not all these years, and I've seen him. He loves God. Susan loves the Lord. I just want to say a few things that God's laid on my heart. Over in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Word of God, and I thank you for the truths. I ask you, God, that you might help me, Lord, to say something that might be an encouragement to the Brother Chris and to the church. I ask you, God, to bless him and use him for a long time. In Jesus' name, amen. As I read this, you learn, Chris and Susan, you'll learn that God, and you know this, that you trust the Lord. And the Lord, when you put your trust in him, you're dependent on him to take care of you. And there's times when you do doubt and you might wonder, but he's always took you through. So you go back on times that when he took you through and he's done for you, and recall things in your mind as how he blessed you. And when you have an important decision to make, sometimes you can't trust people. The only one you can trust is God. And I've found this out already, and I ain't been down there but about 19 months or something like that. And I've seen how God, I trust him. And the people might not like what, Brother, can't say much more besides what Brother Gray said. But you trust God. You don't trust people. You can't trust. They will get mad at you. I done found that out no longer than I've been there. They'll get mad at you. And they don't understand. But you're the man of God. You're the one God's called to preach. You're the one that God give the message to, and then someone thinks they know the message, but you are the one God to give it to. So therefore, you stand and you deliver it. Would you know this? When you go to preach, you just pour your heart out and preach the Word of God. I mean, if they get hit, they're going to get hit. Here's the thing that gets me. You don't go out and beat the mailman up when he brings you a bunch of bills. But then when God gives the preacher something and brings it to your door and gives it to you, you want to get mad at him and you want to cuss him. You want to gripe about him. You want to talk about how sorry he is. Well, look at your life, how you are. I mean, I'm telling you what, there's more to this than you just being in the church and he's the pastor and he's doing the preaching. And I tell you another thing, church. He says trust in the Lord. And he's trusting in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen this and and God takes and blesses the church on the way you bless the man of God. The way you take it. The Bible says the elders of the church deserves double honor. And I'm going to tell you what, he can't live off fried rabbit tracks while you sitting at home eating steak and all the good food. You need to look after your pastor. You need to take care of him. You need to go and put some money in his hand. You say, oh, you just said it because you're a preacher. I tell you, yeah, that's right. But I ain't doing what I didn't do myself. My pastor, I've given kind of the abundance of my heart to do for the preacher. I've always done it ever since I've been saved. And I'm going to tell you, you'll find a blessed church is when they bless it and helping the man of God. Amen. And you'll take and look after him and help him and hold him up in prayer. And he'll have a man of God who will stick with you through thick and thin. I tell you, I've never had a pastor like Brother Joel Hyde. And I'm just telling you, I love him and I appreciate him. And I've been saved for 45 years. I've been preaching for 44. And I tell you what, I know what it is. When you're down and out and you need somebody and you call, I know what it is. When that man of God is there and to answer you and talk to you and give you a comfort in your heart. Some preachers, some preacher can preach and preach up a storm, but they're not really got no compassion. They don't have the love for the people. I'm going to tell you, you got a man of God like it, you better hang on to him. You better take and back him up. You better give all you can give in prayer and seek what God can do for him. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's not many like that. There's not many, Joel Gray, there's not many preacher Hyde, Brother Hyde, and gets down and prays. How many times at night, Chris, already have you been woke up in the middle of the night and you praying for somebody that's in the church that's having a rough time and you pray for them and you beg God to help them?
Amen.
Let me ask you, people, church, how many times have you got up and prayed for your pastor? I dare say he's done it more for you than you have for him.
Yes, sir.
Most time people pray, there's no sweet hour of prayer no more. If you pray 5 minutes, you're doing good most of the time. I'm telling you, we need some people who will hold God's man's hands up, who will back him up, who will stick with him through thick and thin.
Amen.
But oh, he says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I mean, Brother Chris, you got to put your trust and faith in him with all your heart. I mean, no longer than I've been down here, boy, I've then found out I done quit 2 or 3 times, you know, but God didn't let me. But it's been myself, you know, I better to quit because I think, my gosh, what I do? And they don't listen to nothing and they get mad at me, you know, whatever. I'm telling you, you'll find out the only one you can trust is Jesus Christ. In a time of need, that's who you can trust. But I look unto him, and I tell you, I found out I've been saved a long time, and I've seen things, and I've seen troubles in the church, and I've seen how God handles it. But, you know, like I said, you can always recall how God handled another situation. I mean, how God took you through, and how God met your needs. And he'll do the same for you. Just because you're the pastor of the church and the people are looking to you and looking to your wife. And, you know, they always want to run their mouth about the wife. And the biggest thing, my gosh, them people, you know, God help you, get up. You get out there and you, first thing you do is call up. She didn't even shake my hand. She didn't do this. She didn't do that. And you want to run your mouth about the preacher's wife. I'm telling you what, just keep your tongue in your mouth. I mean, the Bible talks about a long tongue and a tongue. I'm telling you, if you learn to pray for them, say, well, let's pray for them instead of talking about them, and then see what kind of pastor and his wife he got.
Amen.
Lift them up in prayer.
Amen.
Don't kick them down. You want me to tell you something? The Baptist people, saved people, are the only soldiers of the Christian people who kick the soldier wives down. I mean, when somebody gets down in the church, they just kick them. They don't pick them up. The Marines, every man, they go back after every man. Nobody lays behind. No, it ain't that way with the Christians. They just stomp them over and keep on going. How many times could you restore somebody and get them back in the house of God as you as a church would go to them and as the pastor with compassion and love and bring them back and restore them and bring them back into the fold?
Amen.
Chris, I tell you, I love you, brother, and I'm praying for you that God helps you. I pray for the church and Miss Susan, I pray for you, and It's a road, different road. But I tell you what, time when I went to down there to this church, I was in evangelism, and I went down there, and they asked me to come preach. And I went down there and preached. The first time I preached, it was different. It was different. I felt like I was part of that church. And now I can go in there, it's just like it was up here when I first come here. This was my home. Now down there, my love is with them people.
Yeah.
Your love, Susan, Chris, Brother Chris, is with them and be with them. And I'll tell you another thing God just stuck on me. Don't belittle your pastor. Don't come up to him and say, hey, Chris, It's either Pastor, Brother Chris, Preacher. You don't go and just call them, hey, Chris, or this. You want to lift him up. You want to exhort him. I say, I've seen too much of that. He's just old Joe. You know, you get to where you know him so good. He's just old Joe. No, that's God's man. God's man. Y'all prayed about it. Y'all prayed and God put him in the church. God laid him on your heart. God give him peace. You need to honor the man of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Appreciate the good word. I bless the Lord for it. And brethren, listen, we need the good exhortation. We need it. I'll tell you, the Bible said it's safe to hear it again. And somebody said, I've heard all that. Well, it's good to hear it again. Amen. I've heard things all my life since I've been saved, but it's, thank God sometimes it's good to hear it again. And it's always good to hear the good news of the gospel. And I was going to take 1 Timothy 3 tonight. I appreciate Brother Chris and his family and Miss Susan and Nathan and Hannah and even old Danny over here being the father-in-law, Brother Chris. Amen. Your family members is here tonight. The church family, thank God for his goodness. And I pray for you that God would bless you. I thank God for him helping you. And I'm not going to say a lot tonight, but Paul did say to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing at his kingdom, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come, and we're in that day, when they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Amen. That's right. They want something, brethren, the day that they don't get pierced in the heart, don't get reproved, and remember to do it in longsuffering and doctrine. And the Bible said, without charity, we're sounding in brass and tinkling cymbal. But tonight, thank God, I want to just read the 1 Timothy 3 and just say a few things tonight that God had helped me with. The Bible said this is a true saying. This whole book's a true saying. And there's a lot of true sayings. Amen. I could preach tonight. That's just a good way to go right there. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. Now I want to say this tonight, and I'm not saying this. I'm not an arrogant person. I know tonight that I'm nothing. But brethren, we're short on men today. He said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, brethren, you're going to have to be a man, amen, to lead a people, amen. I remember when I started here 32 years ago, I was 29 years old, Brother Shank. I did not know, but buddy, I had a streak of boldness in me, God had put in me, that I was going to preach it whether they liked it or not. I hated to have that attitude, but thank God I was serving the master, amen. And brethren, he put it in me, thank God, to say it the way it is. And thank God, that's the only way I know that's going to help you tonight. And I'm telling you, if we ever needed men in this day, we need men tonight. It's sad that we live in where she leads me, I'll follow. It ain't about God, it's what his wife tells him before he goes down to the church house. And it's sad. Praise God, every man ought to be the leader of his home. He ain't even qualified to pastor a church. Amen. If his wife's henpecking him and calling him and telling him what to do, that's sad, but it's true. Under God tonight, we need some men in this day and time. Amen. Listen, he said, if a man, not a woman, amen, there ain't no such thing as women preachers. Amen. They might try it, but they ain't called. Amen. That's right. I know some women. Women's got more sense than men sometimes, but that still ain't their place. Amen. Listen, a woman's not to usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. And brethren, that's the book. Amen. A woman ought to always, I said this and they don't like it, and I know some do and some don't, but a meek and quiet spirit, he says, of great price in the sight of God. And so if a man desire, thank God it's a God-given longing and desire to do God's will. And he said if he desire the office, it is an office in the church. There's two offices in the
church as the pastor and the deacon. And brethren, he said if he desires an office, he desires a good work. Amen. And he said a bishop must, notice this, a bishop then must be blameless. That don't mean perfect. Don't look for it. You'll not find it. But it does mean blameless. What's that mean? It means, thank God, he ain't out here doing things he can be blamed for. He don't have a bad testimony. Amen. He don't live, my friend, his life. Amen. Listen, thank God, in a way that people can blame him. There's enough to blame today. If you followed us a lot around, thank God, you could find something if you're looking to find fault. But brethren, I've got faults tonight. I've got more than what I'd like. Amen. Somebody said, what's your problem? I said, more than one thing. Amen. But I'm telling you, thank God tonight, there's a whole Ghost in me, and brethren, he leads me and guides me. And tonight, thank God, brother Chris, amen. I believe you're a good man, amen, because God lives in you, and a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. But I'm saying this, thank God, the Bible said we must be blameless, and that means that we don't want to be a stumbling block before other people, amen. That ought to be for every Christian. Don't you put some standard on somebody you ain't willing to live yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God that's right. Notice this here. He must be the husband of one wife. Now he's got a good wife. She is raised in the church here. And that's the one he's had. And I bless the Lord for it. And listen, can I tell you something tonight? She's not the pastor. He is. Amen. Don't run to her to try to get to him. If you do, you ain't right with God. I don't care if you're a woman or a man. I tell the church here that and I tell you that. You got something to say, exhort her.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you go to her and say your husband needs to do this. If you got any backbone, go to him and say it. Amen. There's been a lot of problems happening down at the house of God because they wanted to try to get the preacher's wife. Thank God to go tell the preacher something. Amen. It ain't good. She's the husband. He's the husband of Miss Susan. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm telling you as a Gospel Baptist church tonight because I believe it in my heart, you're getting a good lady right there. Getting a good lady right there. Amen. Brethren, they ain't perfect and they won't be, but I'm telling you what, she's got the God of heaven with her. I remember the night she got saved right over here in this pew after Brother Terry Pace preached. And the power of God fell in that thing. And brethren, she got born again. Amen. She come here all her life. You want me to tell you something about her? When her daddy worked on Sundays. You remember that? Brethren, listen. She was young. She could have laid out of church. Me and my wife went and picked her up every Sunday. We never had to blow the horn. We never said where she's at. She always stood right out there. Thank God waiting on us to come.
Amen.
Amen. She's been faithful. That's right. And I bless the Lord for it. He's a husband of one wife. And brethren, listen, thank God for the family there. Amen. The Bible says vigilant. Amen. Thank God, listen. Brethren, always have your eyes open and be smart and be wise. Be sober. That don't mean, amen, the opposite of being intoxicated with wine. Amen. But listen, the Bible said be sober to everybody. Amen. Keep you, be awake tonight. Amen. Be awake. Thank God, let God help you in these things. Notice this here tonight. He said of good behavior. That means be in order.
Yes, sir.
I told them boys back there I wouldn't want anybody to think I was a clown from the pulpit.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God I'm a preacher. Amen. God called me to preach. And that's what I ought to do. Praise God. I like preaching better than I do pastoring. Don't hold that against me. I was a preacher before I was a pastor. Amen. But I like pastoring. God put me in it. I didn't know how to pastor. I thought I used to and I don't now. Amen. It's just day by day. You think you know something and you don't. But you find out later on you really didn't. Amen.
You're right.
Amen. But I tell you this. I know one thing about it. It's about the glory of God and being a blessing and help to that flock. You're going to be a help to that flock. The concern is the flock. Keep it spiritual where you're at. Amen. That's right. Thank God, don't get into games and gadgets and all this other stuff. Amen. The preaching of the word of God is the major. That's the major thing. And worship and preach the word of God and teach the word of God. And that's where it's at, Brother Gray. Amen, it'll work, thank God. Amen, listen, we started, thank God Miss Linda was here, and brother, she played the piano, and she sung two songs, and I'd get up and preach, amen. That's the service, amen. And brother, we got some good singers now, and good brother and sisters, but it's still not the major thing. Right here it is, amen, this is it. That's right, brother, and I'd rather, if anybody said, I've heard my grandma, she said to Joey, I like a good song, it's like a good message. I said, that's all right, Nanny, but it'll take the preaching to get them saved, amen. I like it too, but I'm telling you this, the preaching of the word of God, friend, is where it's at. He said, be of good behavior, amen. That means misbehave right, amen. Notice, giving the hospitality, be fond of guests. That's right. That means, praise God. Amen. Help people. Amen. The people coming in the way. I don't have many people that's come our way and take them out to eat and be a blessing to them and try to be fond of them and help them along the way. A pastor ought to be that. He's not living in a closed house. Amen. Brethren, my phone's open. If you want to call me, I don't get a whole lot of calls. And that's fine too. Praise God. Amen. No news is good news, they say. But I'm willing to listen. Amen. I tell you that. But listen tonight. Amen. He's to give the hospitality and be a blessing to other people. You're giving your life to the ministry, amen. Thank God that's right, ain't it? He said, apt to teach. That man right here ought to be able to take the Bible and instruct the church. That don't mean he knows everything. There's people in this church that's good Bible teachers. A lot of them know more than I do in some things. But I do know I can take the Bible and teach it. Amen. Thank God I studied enough to teach it. Amen. To teach the word of God, that's the instruction. I really believe this from my heart. I believe, brother, the pastor ought to teach his people. How they got anointed if he don't teach it to them? The Holy Ghost is the teacher. I know that the Holy Ghost teaches us. But the word of God said that man ought to teach. And the Bible said, commit it to faithful men that they may be able to teach also. Amen. Thank God, Brother Chris. Amen. Do not believe, my friend, that thank God that you can't do it. You can do it. Amen.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost is your helper. Notice this, not giving the wine. Amen. Don't be a wine tipper. Amen. Thank God I'm not going to get into all that, but I just want to say this. Anything that causes you to think another way because you got intoxication in you, brethren, it ain't right. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Amen. A man that's deceived by it's not wise, the Bible said. That's right. Notice this here, not a striker. Not greedy of filthy lucre. You're not in it for the money. Amen. It's not about the money. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Them that preach the gospel live the gospel. Don't put the muzzle on the ox that treads out the corn. There's an ox that's treading out the corn every day. Feed him, amen. Thank God if he's doing me good, give him a little extra, amen. That's right, isn't it? Amen. Don't put a muzzle on him. But the thing of it is, that's not why you do it, thank God. It ain't about how much you get. Thank God it's the goodness of God that gives you anything, amen. Well, to live by faith and not by sight. God help me tonight. But I'm telling you what, and you're not greedy, brother. All these people on television, I ain't going to spend time on that. That's all about the dollar bill. There's preachers tonight that's about the dollar bill. God have mercy on us. Amen. It's not about that. It's about the will of God. But patience. You got to have patience. You got to have some endurance. Listen, brother, I tell you, be endurance hardness as a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. That means you undergo hardships. Amen. You'll go through sleepless nights. You'll wake up in the middle of the night. And this is on your mind. What do I need to do? What about this situation? What do I need to do? Amen. Be patient. Amen. Let's wait on God. And God, he'll fix a lot of things. You'll keep your hand out of it. Amen. And let's pray. Amen. I go to God like he's sitting right here. And brother, listen, I just talked to him like I talked to you. And I said, Father, I'm coming to you. And dear God, I'm telling you, this is the way it is. Amen. Listen, when Hezekiah was threatened by Sennacherib, amen, and wrote that letter to him, he took it into the house of God. And he laid it out before the Lord. And he said, right, here's what he wrote, amen. God take care of it, amen. I'm telling you, God can take care of it. If you just take it to him, hey, he'll do it for you, amen. A lot of times you don't take it to him. Amen. I'm sorry to tell you tonight, and I'm honest and transparent about it, that a lot of times I'm trying to figure out what to do. And sometimes you don't know what to do. And sometimes God don't tell you what to do. You say, what you do in that? Nothing. I'd like to, but nothing. You wait on God. God works in his time. He don't work on my clock. He pushes you this way. He says, wait on me. I'll fix it. You're going to have to be patient in your ministry work. The word patient to me means cheerful endurance. That's why he said, let us run with patience the race set before us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Notice this here. Thank God he said, not a filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler. That means you ain't a striker. You know to turn the other cheek. Amen. He said, if man spot you on the left, turn to the other. Turn the cheek. That means that you don't want to, he meant you're fighting. He's not talking about physical fighting. Isn't it amazing Jesus never got in a physical fight? Amen. It don't never, I know Peter cut the man's ear off with the sword and Jesus put the ear back on and said, put it up.
Right.
Amen. He did tell him to buy a sword one time. Figure it out for yourself. There's a right way and a wrong way in everything. Hey, listen to me tonight, Brother Chris. It's what you do with what you got is what God's going to judge you by. He ain't going to judge you about what you can't do. He'll judge you by what you can do and what you do with what God gives you.
That's right.
Amen, son. The Bible said she done what she could.
Yeah.
Only you can do what you can. Listen, can I tell you this? You're not these people's Savior.
Right.
I'm going to tell you another thing. You're not these people's Lord. You, your own person in Christ. They, their own person in Christ. They can pray as good as you can. They can read the word and get something from God as good as you can. I say that to my people. This is what I tell them. I'm not preaching for you to believe what I believe. I'm preaching that God might teach you something through the Holy Ghost what I preach. If he don't tell it to you, you won't believe it anyway and you'll never learn it. And I'm going to tell you, how's a man going to hear without a preacher? He's got to have a preacher. Listen, God put preachers in pulpits to preach the word of God, but they're not your Savior tonight. Hey, they're the priest about the Savior. They're that. Listen, this Bible's not God. It reveals God. That's right. Thank God for the inspired words the brother already said. Amen. Listen, friend, when I got saved, I didn't know what Bible to use. I had a New King James Bible. I went to church, and every time that man read, I thought, I ain't got the same reading that he's got. There's got to be, wait a minute, why am I not on the same page? Brother, I just went ahead and the Holy Ghost said, go get you one of them that he's got, the King James Bible. I didn't have the instruction that most people have. But God told me that. He told me, praise God, and I know it seems, amen, a little, my friend, not so serious. He told me to get a haircut. He told me to look like a man, be a man, look like a man, thank God, and stand like a man and talk like a man.
Amen.
Amen. We don't need no sissy men in the pulpit.
Amen.
We don't need no sissy men, period.
Right.
Amen. I ain't wearing a dress to preach in.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. And I want to smell like a man.
Amen.
I want to walk like a man.
Yes,
amen. I want to talk like a man. Thank God and be a man.
Amen.
And a man ain't, thank God, by muscles. That's what is in his heart. Lead your family. You're the daddy of that family. Amen. Notice this here. One, and not covetous. That means you don't desire to have things everybody's got. The Wilsons has got it. Or the Heights has got it. They don't go too. I'm just using me because I don't want to use nobody else. I done called the Wilsons and Miss Kathy. She might be hearing this. But just because they got it don't mean you're supposed to have it. Can I tell you this tonight? This is just the way I feel. I feel as low as anybody else. I'm no better than nobody else. I put my pants on the same way you do. That's what Peter Torkin is. But if somebody drives a better car than me, that don't bother me. I don't even know what people drive anyhow. I'm unobservant on that. I couldn't tell you what everybody drives. I know Aaron drives a Tacoma. I like it. Amen. Some of you got vans. Some of you, I don't know all what you drive. But I don't mean that I got to have it just because you got it. Amen. That don't mean that to me. If God blessed you with a better house, that don't mean nothing but God blessed you. Amen. As long as I got a good bed and somewhere to lay down, thank God, and got peace in my home. I'm telling you this tonight. It's more important to have what's in your home and what your home looks like. If you ain't got peace in your home, you in bad shape. Amen. Listen, friend, that's where the blessing is. Amen. Notice this here. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Here's the thing. The word rule there means to take care of and to have authority over. It means also to have your children in subjection. I know we live in this day, and I know people don't like us, but I'm going to preach it. Every child ought to not be told 2 and 3 times to do anything. If that daddy judges them at the house, my mama sits on the back row. My daddy put the fear of God in me before I was ever saved. And I'm telling you this tonight, Brother Shank, if they've got a conscience and understanding and can sit in the schoolhouse and they come to church and run around like a bunch of rabbits all the time, it's because mama and daddy's not telling them. And the daddy's the fault of it.
Yes, sir.
And I want to tell you this, and let me look at the other side of the coin. There's a heads and tails. They're children. They going to make mistakes? I mean, I told my boy and girl, I said, listen, this is the way it is. We go in, you sit by mama. You do what mama says. My mama raised me in a Methodist church, and she had to clear her voice one time for me to set my tail end up and listen to what that boring man was saying. And she said this. She said, if you do that one more time, you know what you're going to get. I want to thank her personally tonight. I want to thank my wife personally tonight for, listen, my wife never went against my judgment. Never. If I told them kids they wouldn't do it, they didn't run to her, and she said, you can.
Amen.
You say, why are you so mad? Because I'm tired of a bunch of parents being so lazy and won't make their children mind them.
Amen.
They got their nose in Facebook instead of the Bible.
Amen.
And that's why they'll sit there and look at their phones for 2 hours and their kids is running wild in the house and they take them to the churches and they don't listen there. I ain't talking about these little youngins. I'm not talking about them as, thank God, they don't have no understanding. I don't say that. Brethren, listen, I ain't talking about that, but I'm talking about children today. I ain't got all to set up. And listen, the man of God, if they go to school, they ought to set up in the church. You don't have to take their toy box down to the house of God. I ain't never saw such in this day, friend. I could imagine my mama when I was going to Methodist church and say, mama, you may mind if I take about 5 Hot Wheels? Do you know when we was growing up, we didn't even talk in the car hardly. We didn't have films to look at.
Go ahead, preacher.
You never said, how far are we away from where we going? Never, nothing. You think I'm being hard, don't you? I'll tell you what it did. It produced fear in my heart. And it produced respect in my heart for authority. Thank God that one day when God spoke to me, Brother Keith, we was raising a lot of likeness at the Holy Ghost work. And I'm telling you what, I'm not saying be a tyrant. Don't be like me. And I didn't have a lot of balance. And I was like a sergeant. And I wish I had not been. But I'm telling you this, there is some authority that you've got to have in your home.
Amen.
Let them be children. Let them grow up. Children ought to never have to worry and fret and live a life, my friend, of having to do the parents' job. I had a good childhood. I'm telling you, I had a good childhood. I was raised at a good time. I had a good childhood. We played outside. We played cars and trucks. We had BB guns. We had, I ain't got basketball, football, and baseball. We just had a good childhood. My mama didn't tell me. Listen, she taught me to clean the house. vacuum the, thank God, the floors. Amen. Take the trash out. They didn't have to tell me more than one time. I knew what the consequence was. You say, why are you on this? Because I'm tired of it.
Amen.
Ask God to help you.
That's right. You're right.
The home is the most important place on earth to me. He ordained it. He brought a man, a woman to a man and said, here she is. Done killed it tonight. That's all right. I still love you. That the old guy said, he said, I don't believe in what you're preaching. I said, I'll still buy you a hamburger at Hardee's and talk to you. I'll take you even, thank God, to Shoney's if it was open. Listen, Brother Chris, you're a young man. How old are you now? 37? 37 years old. I love you. I appreciate the Holy Spirit helping you. I believe you're God's man. And I believe that's what God wants for you. I didn't like it at first, but I'm, because I didn't want you to leave, but I mean, I had to submit to it. I said, God, you're taking everybody from me. Isn't it amazing? Brother Mitchell said this, Brother Mitchell said this tonight. What did you say?
Now you know why I believe.
Brother Mitchell said this tonight in our meeting back here. He said, you know the first pastor we had come to Miss Church? I mean, Brother Hobson. He was there 23 years. He's a dear man of God, a great man of God. And then he's taken now another man from this church and pastoring this church. Ask God, friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Stay on the same line.
Right.
Amen. What Brother Mitchell said when he called me, I told him, Brother Messick, I said he'd be the first one to call and to give me a number. And I said, but, and he said, well, we don't want nobody that ain't going to preach salvation, right, and try to lead these people in some kind of prayer. Can I tell you I say amen to that?
Amen.
That's God's business dealing with them on the altar.
Amen.
If he can get them lost, he can get them saved. He don't need your help. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We ain't got five churches in Roane County that wouldn't get down here and lead somebody in a prayer if they come to pray. That's sad, but it's true. Amen to God. Not a novice. I'm going to read verse 6. For a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?
Amen.
Now listen, Brother Chris. Your whole thing is taking care of these people. Yeah. Through the preaching and through your life.
Yeah.
You're taking care of them.
That's right.
This old boy come today. He didn't impart church. I preached at the jail 2010. Me and Bobby Parker's up there, and he come heard me. And you saw him too. And some of y'all brothers preached to him. And he's in trouble as far as just living. He's doing his best trying to go to work and things like that. And he needed a little help. He ain't a member of the church. I went up there and bought him that jumper thing for his bike. And that's just the way I look at it. Why did God say in the book of James, if I have it and don't give it, what kind of religion have I got?
Amen.
Now, I don't mean just giving everything to them that say I work for food, thank God, or thank God to give me some money and hiring signs above their head. But I do mean, thank God, it's about helping people. Listen, friend, I want to tell you this. The fulfillment of life is doing something for somebody else. It ain't me getting it all and piling it up. It's doing something for somebody else. That's the fulfillment of life. And if you can do it in the Spirit of God and preach the Word and help people, that's the fulfillment of life. Amen. Notice here, I got to go on. Not a novice. That means a new convert. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Don't do that. He ain't a novice. He's been saved for about 14 years. Called to preach. Thank God for not long after that. Notice the last verse, and I'm through. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. I had a man call me one time. This is back in early ministry when I preached against everything. And he said, well, he said, I won't talk to you. He said, I've heard a lot about you. And he said, there's a lot of people don't like you and there's a lot of people that like you. I said, that's a pretty good report.
Amen.
The reason they didn't like me because they didn't like what I said. But I'm going to tell you what, brethren, listen, the people I work with or worked with, they ought to look at me and say, well, he's not a stumbling block to me. He's got, really, this verse means he's got a good testimony.
Amen.
And that brother, Mr. John back there, I mean, we help him out, what, little bit, if you call it that. I don't know if he'd even call me a helper, amen. But this old fella up there, he kind of talked rough. And I love him. And I didn't say it for him to feel like he was any lesser than I was. I just told him I was a preacher. He said, I didn't know it. I knew Jonathan preached. He said, you come to your church? I said, yeah, he comes to the church. He said, boy, I didn't know you was a preacher. I've been cussing around you. That's what he said. I said, well, you know, I mean, you just being yourself. That's really what you being who you are. If you're a cusser, you're going to cuss. If you're a drinker, you're going to drink. Amen. But anyway, I told him, I said, I'd love for you to come and be with us in the meeting. And he said, well, you know, I'll think about it. I think we'd like it. And brother, listen. The only difference between me and the outside world is the grace of God. There ain't nothing good about me, period. I'm telling you, brother, listen, I know myself better than anybody else, Brother Chris. I'm honest with my heart right now. And that old pride can creep up in any man or woman. But I can tell you tonight, I don't think I'm better than you are.
Amen.
And I can tell Jeremy that is good. This boy's born in the church. And I can tell him tonight, I love him. And I do not think I'm better than no man in this church. Because why? I know myself. And I know that there's nobody worse than I am in the flesh. And brethren, the thing about testimony, it's God. The confirmed testimony is the confession of Christ and the life of Christ. It ain't how good I am. It's who he is in me and through me. And brethren, tonight I exhort you, thank God, to keep it going for him and preach the word of God and enjoy the ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for that tonight. Bless the Lord for it. Appreciate the church here tonight. I appreciate the church. Gospel Baptist Church, I appreciate you and love you. I love you, preacher. And I thank God for him. And I said more than I wanted to, but I just followed the Holy Spirit the best I could. Amen. But I love Brother Chris, Miss Susan, them youngins. And amen, when the Christmas time comes around, make sure you give Nathan, thank God, the Grinch. Amen. He likes him. Amen, he stole Christmas. Amen. Thank God for having fun too once in a while. Amen. I'm full of that. I got to hold a governor on that. I like saying stuff and clowning around too much sometimes. Amen. That's just part of who I am. I'm telling you, when it comes to God and his word and preaching the truth of God, it's just straight it is. And I'd rather for a man to tell me gun barrel straight, thank God, as to mess around with me. Amen. That's what helped me. And I appreciate Brother Chris tonight. We're going to pray over him and ask God's blessing on him, lay our hands on him. And I want to ordain men to do that. And then the rest of the brothers that can come and gather around and pray too. And Brother Chris, if you'd come up this night here and bow at this altar. And I appreciate you, Pastor. Amen. Brother Messick. And we're going to have prayer over him. And you brothers come. Brother Gray, Brother Shank, Brother Robert, Brother Hip. I know they're ordained men. And I want the rest of the brothers to come around. This deals with the presbyter. That's what I believe is the Bible teaches. That laying hands on the presbyter, and then the other brothers come, and let's pray over this brother here and ask God if you'd lay hands on him right here and pray over him, and everybody would gather around, have prayer, and ask God's blessing on this dear.